The court also made headlines by agreeing to hear four new cases on marriage equality. We're potentially as close as we've ever been to having the justices find a constitutional right to marriage for same-sex couples, and here to talk about what we can expect is Aaron Sarver, Communications Director at the Campaign for Southern Equality, which is the plaintiff in a current marriage equality case in the Fifth Circuit Court. Aaron, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me on, Reverend Gaddy. Happy to join you.
What is it exactly that the Supreme Court has agreed to do?
They've taken up four cases from the Sixth Circuit. Those cases are from Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. This is the big one. This is the one where they will most likely issue the final word on marriage equality nationwide. So advocates across the country are very excited, and we've been waiting for this day for a couple of years now.
Aaron, are they looking at the transition of marriage licenses and the approval of marriages from a kind of states' rights issue perspective to a national perspective so that marriage itself becomes a federal right, not just the right in a particular location?
Precisely, yes. The core question before the court is, do same-sex couples have a fundamental right under the Constitution to marry regardless of which state they live in?
Mm-hmm.
We're now at a point where we've seen rapid change during the last year and a half. We now have 36 states across the country where same-sex couples do have the right to marry and are marrying. We've seen more than 30 federal judges issue very positive rulings. We've had two rulings dissent, but overwhelmingly federal judges are finding after the Windsor case that same-sex couples have a fundamental right to marry regardless of where they live.
Aaron, there are several current cases in various stages before various courts, including the Fifth Circuit appeal that your organization is directly involved in. What happens to those cases now?
Well, a number of things could happen. As you mentioned, the Campaign for Southern Equality has brought suit in Mississippi. The case is Campaign for Southern Equality versus Bryant. Phil Bryant's the governor of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. We had a ruling late last year in that case. Federal judge, Judge Reeves, issued a 70-plus page opinion saying that same-sex couples in Mississippi have a fundamental right to marry. That case was stayed, meaning the ruling was on hold. And then just on January 9th, we were before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals down in your neck of the woods in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
There were also cases from Texas and Louisiana heard that same day. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals could do a number of things. They could decide to rule ahead of the Supreme Court hearings, which are likely to take place in April. They could decide not to rule, or they could rule and say our ruling is on hold, because we know ultimately the Supreme Court is going to have the final say.
Sure. Now that the Supreme Court has stepped in, does that change the role of Campaign for Southern Equality, or what does it do to you?
Hopefully, when the Supreme Court is expected to rule, our marriage equality work will be over and we'll be celebrating, and we'll shift our focus to other areas of our work. That includes employment protections, housing protections. We could very well see a scenario where couples in Mississippi and Louisiana, and in fact every southern state, where couples are allowed to marry but can be fired simply for being LGBT, or can be evicted from rental housing simply for being LGBT. So there's a lot of work around broad rights and protections in the South that remains to be done. And then, you know, other areas of our work include offering direct legal services
mm-hmm.
at Pride celebrations. We have what we call community law workshops, where attorneys volunteer and LGBT individuals can complete a healthcare power of attorney form on site for free,
mm-hmm.
consulting with an attorney. That's a very important document that every LGBT person should have,
mm-hmm.
regardless of their relationship status. A name change document, again, a relatively simple document to complete with assistance of attorney that can just make a tremendous difference in the life of an LGBT individual. But there's not a lot of resources in the South for LGBT folks.
Right.
And so providing those direct services will continue to be a big focus for us. In April 17th and 18th in Asheville, we're going to be having our second annual LGBT in the South conference, which will gather organizations and activists from across the South for 2 days to meet and collaborate and coordinate and talk about what is specific to organizing in the South. Mississippi is not Maine. North Carolina is not North Dakota. So what's unique to our work in the South, and how can we coordinate and collaborate for the next stage of LGBT organizing, hopefully after this big Supreme Court ruling that goes our way?
I'm so pleased that this campaign is being carried out in the South. For a long time, and I'm saying this as someone who grew up in the South, it was almost a fear about going into the South to talk about this issue. And finally, some people realized that we need to go where the challenge is. And you went there. What has it been like working for marriage equality in the heart of the South, where some people thought this issue couldn't even be addressed?
The Campaign for Southern Equality launched in the fall of 2011. Our executive, Reverend Jasmine Beach Ferrara, is a minister in the United Church of Christ, and the faith component has been an important part of our work. We appreciate you and all clergy, regardless of faith, that speak out and affirm the dignity of LGBT people. And again, we know in the South that context of faith is very important to having those community conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent a lot of time in Mississippi over the last couple of years. We've been in Jackson, we've been in Tupelo, we've been in smaller towns like Picayune and Poplarville. And by and large, people have been unbelievably friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We've sat down, we've had a lot of conversations in people's living rooms, we've had a lot of meals with people. And I think once we get out of the very kind of heated cable television rhetoric, and you can sit down to people one-on-one or in small groups and talk about these issues, you can have much more honest conversations. And you can have conversations with people who are conflicted. Maybe they were brought up and they're relying on scripture, or they're relying on attitudes that are not affirming of LGBT people, but they know someone. They have a cousin, they have a friend from high school, they have a neighbor who's LGBT, and that's really started to change things for them, knowing someone personally. And we see that time and time again, especially when we're in the rural South, that those one-on-one conversations can really drive change for people. So we've been really happy to have those conversations across Mississippi, and we felt really welcomed. We mainly focus our work in the rural South, where, again, there's a lack of resources. So what we also see is that there's LGBT people everywhere. In every county across Mississippi and across the South, there's LGBT people, and they are often organizers in their communities. They just don't have the resources or infrastructure that are in place in other parts of the country.
It really is an affirmation for a strategy related to democracy, that we quit talking about each other and talk to each other. And when we do that, there is a way to get to reason that is surprising to some people, but it's a part of what can happen in dialogue. Aaron Sarver is Communications Director at the Campaign for Southern Equality. Aaron, thank you very much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Reverend Gaddy.